SlapQuest 782,
SlapQuest 782. I'm going to hold on to you. You're clear visual approach runway 14. I'm going to hold on to you a little bit. I think I spot a drone up right over the airfield right now because I'm not getting your target, but I'm seeing lights.
All right. Do you see a drone?
Yeah, I think it's a drone. I mean, I'm seeing just red flashing lights, but I'm not getting any targets or anything. It's making some wild maneuvers.
Hello and welcome to the NACA podcast. I'm Doug Church from the National Air Traffic Controllers Association. At approximately 8:30 p.m. on March 9, 2021, Greensboro member Noah Walker was working the approaches into Greensboro, North Carolina from the tower cab as the positions were combined and the radar position was moved to the tower. Walker was lining up a lifeguard aircraft for the final for runway 14. Just before he instructed the pilot to contact the tower, he noticed lights that appeared to be another aircraft in conflict, as you heard on that tape. Walker asked the tower controller if he was talking to an aircraft, but the controller confirmed he was not. Walker determined it was a drone flying near the arrival corridor for runway 14. Retired Minneapolis Center NACA member Sandy Tai sat down with Noah to discuss this event and how he handled it. Here's their conversation.
Noah, tell me a little bit about yourself and how long you've worked at Greensboro Tower and what got you interested in becoming a controller.
Okay, I've been in Greensboro for 11 years. I was a contractor in Cuba before that and in the Navy before that. So I've been doing this since the year 2000. I wanted to be a controller because my dad was a controller and used to bring me to work with him. And I thought it looked like a really cool job. And I'm glad I did because I think it's one of the best jobs in the world.
It is. Where was your dad a controller at?
He was all over the place, but we moved down to Key West when I was three. And he was a controller at Key West until he contracted it out in 95.
Very cool.
Then we moved up to Columbia, South Carolina, and then I left for the Navy after that.
Let's take us back to that day. So it happened on March 9, 2021, and I believe it happened in the evening around 8:30.
Yeah, sounds about right.
And can you just tell us a little bit about the event and what occurred, maybe the timeline of things?
We were both, there's only two people at work because we were doing that COVID schedule still. And I was working the TRACON portion from one side of the tower, and there was another controller working the tower portion from the other side. And I had cleared one of our medical airplanes in, and he always likes the crossing runway. And I cleared him for the approach, and just as I was getting ready to switch him to the tower, I saw lights go by the tower portion. I had not heard the other controller clear anybody for takeoff. So I said, did you just clear somebody heading westbound? He said, I'm not talking to anybody. And I looked up and there was a very large drone headed right towards the arrival corridor of where LabQuest was coming in. So I told LabQuest what was going on, that we were not in communications with that aircraft. So I put him in the downwind for 2-3 and then cleared him for 2-3 left, and then the drone was hanging out about 400 feet off the departure end, just making like north-south lines at maybe 300 or 400 feet. And we had several aircraft that were taxiing out for departure that we couldn't get moving because this drone kept going back and forth. So we talked to the pilots, and they taxied down the runways and made a 180 and went off of fives because we still have this drone in sight. And we had a couple of rivals come in. By this time, the drone had moved to the other side of the airfield that we were holding back, that we couldn't get in because it started to become very erratic. And then the drone started flying back and forth over the tower. And the local police were out looking for it. And everybody was seeing this drone, including our firehouse, who was out helping us. And when he flew right over the tower, maybe 50 feet over the side of the tower, it was the biggest drone I'd ever seen. It was about the size of a small light sport aircraft, maybe not quite as big as a Skyhawk, but very close. And by that time, I was on the phone with so many people that I decided that we just could not continue to try to do operations because we had numerous aircraft in the air that were on their way to Greensboro. We didn't have any more room to hold anybody. So we had to end up shutting the airfield operations down. I didn't shut the airfield down, I just shut the operations. And I'd already had called my manager to tell him I might have to do that. And he gave me his blessing for the safety. And after we shut it down, it was kind of just a waiting game. We were watching the aircraft we were holding in the air had diverted to other airports and decided to land. So there wasn't a whole lot more going on except for just watching this drone and making reports to, you know, the den and the rock and everybody who wanted to call me and talk. So it was a lot of on the phone and things, but it wasn't too much going on after I, you know, suspended operations.
So did it appear that the drone pilot was tracking aircraft or was it just maneuvering on its own?
I don't know because it was so erratic. It was going all over the place. And he would leave the area for a minute. We wouldn't see him and I'd see him like a mile or two north of the airfield and then he'd come right back over the airfield. I don't know if he was trying to get shots of airplanes taking off over him or what was going on. I have no idea what it was all about, but it was just too erratic to even try to figure out what his plan was.
So what type of communications did you have with law enforcement throughout the event?
Well, we had them on the radio through the ground control frequency because we have law enforcement here at the airfield, and they have the ability to talk with the local law enforcement. So they were doing the relay to the local law enforcement who had surrounded the airfield and were looking for anybody who might be outside the fence flying or see if they could track it outside of the airfield. And then, of course, with our firehouse, we also have direct communications through the ground control frequency.
So were they able to actually track the drone and find out who the drone pilot was?
No, we were not. He was in the area for a couple of hours. He was in the air for a long time. He would depart. Like I said, we wouldn't see him for a little bit, and he'd pop back up. So I don't know if he was going back to refuel or change batteries or what, but it was in the air for a long time. And then when it finally departed, we tracked it for a little while going northbound. It was large enough we were able to get a target on it. But once he got a couple miles away from the airfield, we could never spot him. We have no idea where he went. Somewhere
wow.
north.
So how long were operations suspended for?
This was last year. I think it was about 2.5 hours.
Wow, that's a long time. How many aircraft were affected?
From what I was told, we had 11 in the air that were on their way to Greensboro, and they had to divert them when we went into the ground stop, and they had to hold numerous other ones on the ground. I heard that the midwatch got a little bit busy from when we opened everything back up, that they were a lot busier on the mid than they normally are.
And so have you seen the drone back since or not?
No, ma'am.
Wow. And then, you know, also I'm curious, you know, your decision in suspending the traffic, that's not an easy decision. So what made you actually then decide you have to do this just because of his erratic behavior?
Yes, I couldn't predict what he was doing, and he was moving around the airfield so quickly that even trying to get anybody lined up to land or take off, I didn't have time to do all that, and I didn't want to risk it. And I knew that more people were coming, and we couldn't hold that many aircraft in the air. That I called my manager. I was hoping he was on board with me, but I called my manager at home and told him what was going on, and said, "I think I might have to suspend operations." He goes, "If that's what you feel you need for safety, you know, do it." I said, "Okay." And so we went a couple more minutes, and then I was on the phone. That's when he flew right over the top of the tower. And I was on the phone with, I think, the den. And I said, "I can't do this anymore. We got to suspend operations." And she said, "All right, we're going to put you into a ground stop." And then we started coordinating with the centers and, you know, Washington Atlanta Center and saying, you know, we can't accept any handoffs for anybody at Greensboro. We can go to our outlying facilities, but not here.
Wow, what an unusual day that would have been going, you know, to happen at work.
It was.
Because you think of a drone and you think of something really small, but not anything that large.
No, it was large. Like I said, we were getting target returns on our radar from it.
Wow. It was only like the drone, so there weren't other aircraft involved or anything like that.
Just the aircraft that we normally have flying in and out. One poor flight school guy flew over to do a one stop and go, and he got stuck on the ground. So I'm sure he wasn't happy about paying for that.
I bet not. So getting back with the drone, and what made you, you just saw the red and white flashing lights and that's it? Or what
yes,
made you?
I saw the lights, and they were flying in an area of the airport that even if they were departing from Greensboro, they wouldn't be at because they were between the two runways. And it flew between our new tower and our old tower right towards LabQuest. And luckily I was working the TRACOM, but I was in the tower. So I saw those lights going towards where LabQuest was trying to land and was able to put LabQuest in the downwind and get them away from the danger of the drone.
So did it ever come to a point where the law enforcement was going to take action on the drone?
Yes, our local law enforcement and our firehouse went out, and they were tracking it and chasing it around the airfield, and they said they were standby ready to shoot it down with the shotguns if it would come down any lower. They were just out of range of the shotguns, but they were chasing him around with their weapons out. I know it sounds crazy, but this really happened, and they were ready to go. They were ready to shoot it down, but the drone was just staying up high enough that it made the shotguns ineffective.
That is, I would not have expected that at all at work.
It was a crazy day, and I hope I don't ever have another one like that crazy again.
I totally agree with you.
I was on the phone with people I never expected I'd ever have to talk to as a controller.
Yeah.
Very high-level people.
Well, I appreciate you sharing this with us.
Oh, not a problem.